Welcome to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful afternoon here in the winter that we enjoy so much. I'd like to welcome you here to this program, which is a continuing series in preparing for all kinds of things that may come into your lives. And I believe we prepare without fear by being prepared ahead of time, by understanding how and why things work. And if you have any questions as we get started here, if you're new to the program, you can email them to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Or you can leave a voice message toll-free at 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, then the letter U, get set. I'm visiting in another city today, so I'm calling under a little different circumstances, which makes it kind of fun. It kind of made me think about this series we've been doing on cold weather and winter injury avoidance, and what we might do is we're traveling. I've had some people email in and some messages left on different scenarios, and I'm going to go through a few of those as we go along today. As always, just a quick review about a few thoughts as we understand the process, if you will, the method, the understanding of becoming prepared. You know, I talk about this first law of survival, which is luck, L-U-C-K, laboring under correct knowledge. The second law of survival, which is learn and practice CPR. CPR is courage, patience, and resourcefulness. The law of provident living is such an important part. It has really four parts to it in an order of priority. The first one being spiritual. Second is attitude. Third is knowledge. And then the fourth is the stuff, the material things. We like to talk about stuff and material things, but, you know, it's having these other things in place first, because if you have a bunch of stuff, you don't know what to do about it, you don't have an attitude of making it no matter what, and you don't have a spiritual foundation why you should even try, then you just give up. That's why I don't give people lists of things to buy. We really begin with these laws and these principles, understanding them and teaching you why these things are the way they are. Because if I just give you a list of things to buy when things get really tough, you might just give up and die, and that's not what we want to happen. Now, we've been talking about cold weather and winter preparedness, cold weather and winter injury avoidance, and if you're new to the program, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the past programs. I really appreciate what RBN is doing here, where not only are they providing this public service, where we can teach these things to you, but they're also archiving all of these programs. And this is, I believe, number five in this little short series in the middle of the long series about cold weather, winter, and injury avoidance. And you can go back and listen to the previous four programs by going to the Internet on the RBN site, clicking on Archives, and going down to the program Prepare Without Fear. And you can review these things and send other people there so they can listen to this whole series of programs. Well, the whole idea of avoiding injury in winter is, first off, it hurts. Secondly, it might turn out to be more than just painful. It may become debilitating, or certainly people lose their lives to cold in winter. We've talked in the past about frostbite, about immersion foot, snow blindness, all these kinds of things. But the biggest one is hypothermia. In fact, that's mostly what we'll focus on today, is in situations and what you would do about them in avoiding hypothermia and frostbite. Years ago, I watched a program that I enjoy watching, some of the things like Discovery Channel, History Channel, because they have some instructional things in there that are very useful. And there was a program years ago, I've seen the title used again, but this was about 2000, if I remember right. It was entitled The Science of Survival. And what they did on The Science of Survival was they just went through scenarios that had happened to people. They recreated them. In some cases where the people had survived, and they interviewed them and then went back and just kind of mocked up the whole scenario, took them through. In other cases, looking at the aftermath and trying to figure out what happened, they'd recreate these scenarios for people. We're going to talk about one of these and give you some ideas of how you can do it differently.
Microbore filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips with you on this winter afternoon, talking about the scenarios that people may find themselves in, and I'm going to set one up for you here because this is what was on this program a number of years ago. It was about a family that got stuck in a car out in the snow. There was a husband and a wife and an infant, and they had gone out for an afternoon drive to go up and enjoy the mountains around them. They weren't planning on getting themselves stuck and weren't thinking about that while they were out there. A snowstorm came in, got the family station wagon stuck in the snow up some little deserted country road off into the mountains, number of miles away from home. And when they determined they couldn't get the car unstuck, after being in it for a little while, it looked like they stayed warm with the heater and then decided that it was time to leave the car. Walked away from the car to walk out. Hadn't made any particular survival provision supplies, hadn't taken anything with them, and just took the clothing they had, wearing the shoes they had, which were not true winter shoes. The mother holding the infant in her wraps that's had for this infant, and then finally tucking her inside of their clothing and started walking away from the car. And got not very far, just a couple of miles away from the car. It became so tough they had to set and make camp, if you will, set up by a log, try to get a little bit of shelter down with some branches and hunker down in there and spent, and I believe it was about 3 days, somewhere between 2 and 3 days. They were finally noticed that they were missing. Search parties went out, and they were spotted eventually. But in the meantime, the mother had kept the infant alive. It was a young one, an infant. It was nursing the baby. They were trying to eat some snow and keep themselves going. But the tragic part of it, the unfortunate part, is that the mother didn't make it. In essence, she sacrificed her life for the infant, which is, you know, what mothers will do. And I try to be sensitive in these cases, because in no way do I put these people down or want to make it seem a criticism of what people do. People do the best they know how to do, but they make a lot of mistakes and may get themselves into trouble. So the mother didn't make it. The infant and the father and husband were rescued and had to get on with their lives without mother and without a wife. So if you look at the situation, and I looked at the program, and the program was actually very useful in the one sense, where it went through these scenarios and showed what people did. They spent a half hour demonstrating what they did, what happened to them, and it was a program that was about the tough things that people had to survive, and how some of them struggled and suffered, and, you know, some people survived, some people did not, and it was a story of what happened. What was missing from the program, and what I would always like to do, still want to do, hope to do a program like this where you could take and show the scenario. This is what happened to somebody. This is what occurred, what the end results were, and what these people did is the best that they knew how to do. And then come back and do two other scenarios. One of them would be what they should have done to be prepared. What should have been in the car in this case, what you would put in the car, and then when you got stuck in the snow, what you would do with the things that you had brought with you. That would be the ideal scenario for people to find themselves caught in. And then the other scenario would be, here they were having exactly what they had, and what would you do differently to make the outcome better than it was? Those would be the two scenarios. So that's what we're going to actually do in this program, is look at some of these scenarios. And in this case, with this family, and say, what could have they done differently? Well, obviously, and this is a thing that I would hope each one of you, that each one of us should be doing. If you're going to be going someplace, what's the worst thing that could happen? Could you get stuck? Could a car break down? Could you get lost? Could a storm come up and close roads and cut you off? If there's even a remote chance that any of these things could happen, then you should prepare for them. Some people have the attitude that said, well, you know, I'm in town. You know, I'm just going to the grocery store. I'm going to the mall. You know, what could happen? There's all these people around. Yet we have people that find themselves in serious trouble. Maybe they don't lose their lives, but certainly there's, you know, pain and suffering that's just no fun. I tried pain years ago, and my conclusion is that pain is just not everything that's cracked up to be. I do my best to avoid it every time that I can, not because, well, I guess simply because it hurts. And why would you want to expose yourself? So even if it's a short jaunt, even if it's going to school to pick up kids or drop them off at school, could you have a flat tire? Could the gas gauge be reading wrong and you end up getting stuck in the middle of a terrific blizzard? You know, as long as the car's running and you're inside, you have the shelter, you have the heater, it's not necessarily all that bad. Do cars run out of gas? You know, because there are all kinds of things that can happen. So you start asking yourself these questions and prepare accordingly. So let's step back and take a look at this family and the kinds of things that you could do, I think that you should do before heading off someplace, particularly if you're just going for a little recreational drive and you're not really intending to spend the night. But what happens if you have to? When we go back to our list, the simple list that I use all the time that has the 8 categories of provisions that you need to be making, I would suggest that you need to be prepared in each and every one of these. Now, what is this eight? I've given them again and again and again. First one is clothing. Well, if we're talking about winter, as we are, and as you've listened to past programs, you would understand that clothing is absolutely critical, because if something happens to your shelter, something happens to the heat that you have in the shelter, then it is clothing that's your personal portable shelter that you take with you, and it has to be right. So obviously these people and you should make provisions with the clothing that would be necessary to be certainly without heat. In the case of an automobile, if it runs out of gas, you don't have any heat anymore. The heater doesn't work. And certainly, what if you have to be outside changing a tire, trying to get yourself unstuck? Then you need to have footwear that's adequate. You need to have the whole body wear that would be adequate to keep you warm and comfortable. You'd want to have something for your hands and something for your head. All the things that we've talked about in the clothing sections before needs to be there. So that one makes perfect sense. Have the clothing. What if you're somebody that doesn't have winter clothing? Then perhaps you shouldn't go. Get the winter clothing. Don't always assume that the cars and the shelters will always be working perfectly, because sometimes they're not, and it can cost you dearly. Go back and listen to our programs. I think it was number 4, 5, and 6 in previous ones, all about clothing, the kinds of clothing you need, how and why it works. How do you know if your clothing is right? What if you want to experiment with your clothing? Well, it's very simple. Put on the clothing, get into the conditions that you would be exposed to. Let's say in your area the temperatures get down to zero, then find a time when it's zero, or 10 below, or 10 above, whatever it was going to be. Put on your winter clothing, go outside and sit in a chair, in a lounge chair. Just relax. Stay out there a minimum of 4 hours with little or no activity. If you're like suffering in 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour or two, then you know that your clothing is inadequate. If you can sit there for 4 hours and you're like warm and comfortable and dry and you're just bored, take a book so you can read a book, make it a useful time, then you start to know that your clothing is probably getting close to what you need. Now, ideally, you do what I do, which is you go live in this clothing for 72 hours in the worst conditions you're going to find. You stay in it for 3 days. You never take it off. You wear it continuously. You sleep with it. You work with it. You don't change it, because that's what's going to tell you, number one, do I have adequate insulation? But the other part of the story is, does it have the ability to manage the moisture, to get rid of the moisture, not have it build up inside? Well, that's previous lessons that we've done here. But that's how you find out. So clothing obviously has to be adequate for the conditions that you would meet. Here's the next one on our list. What is that? That's water. You've got to prepare yourselves with adequate water. You take water with you. You start out with water, expedient water. We did a whole class on water here. So you must have enough water to take care of you. How much water do you need? Well, if you said, I'm just going to be gone for a couple of hours, you might think you don't need to take much. But what if 2 hours turns into 2 days? It's always wise to have water with you. Now, here's a question that people will ask me. They say, well, okay, if I try to take a jug of water, how do I keep it from freezing if the heat goes off in the car? Simplest way of doing it is taking it in something insulated. Insulated the thermos bottles, these nice stainless steel thermos bottles. You put just tap water in them. It doesn't have to be hot water, just cool tap water. They will not freeze for days inside of those. What if you don't have one? Well, you probably have foam coolers. You have insulated jackets that you can wrap them up in. You can just wrap up a gallon jug of water or a couple of 2-liter bottles in just a blanket or a quilt. You can put them inside of a cardboard box with packing peanuts around them. These packing peanuts are wonderful insulation, as long as they suspend the water out in it a couple of inches from the side. You can expose that water to, the water won't be exposed, but that box could be exposed to 10 or 20 below zero, and it'll be days before it'll freeze. You can come up with very low-cost ways of carrying water with you that will not freeze. So water is something that you must have, but then you would also be looking for a way to replenish that water. If it's the winter, winter is a wonderful time of the year to be outside and traveling, because you've got water around you in the form of snow. Just have to have a way of melting it. So you start thinking about how these things work for your situation. That's what we'll continue doing to prepare ourselves for the winter without worries right after this break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Program Prepare Without Fear, and I am Jim Phillips on this beautiful winter afternoon, enjoying the snow as I look out the window here. Now, I happen to be in a hotel in a city I'm visiting many miles away from home, where I'm calling in from, but I'm looking out at these snow-covered mountains around me and the cold of winter that we have. And you need to be prepared to deal with it if you're going someplace. In fact, since we're talking about cars and getting stuck, I'm sitting here looking at my bag over here that has the clothing in it that would take care of me. I brought winter boots and the whole things, even though I wear a suit and I give talks and things, so I don't have all the winter clothing on all the time, but I've got it with me in the car, the footwear, the mittens, the hat, and all of those things. Other people that are in the car, I want them to have those things, or at a bare minimum, to have blankets and things. See, I will prepare myself that if I need to be outside taking care of issues and getting cars unstuck or putting on chains or building a fire or whatever it is, that I have the ability to get outside and do the work, and other people may have to stay kind of holed up, if you will, under some blankets and quilts and sleeping bags. So you prepare yourself to take care of these things. So have these things with you, as we're talking about. I have bottles of water, jugs of water and things. Some of them are insulated in foam coolers that are in the trunk of the car, so it's not going to freeze immediately. as you go down this list and you start thinking about this husband and wife and infant that were stuck in the cold out there, just in bare minimal clothing, nothing in the way of boots. They made no provisions for water. They were just going for a drive. It was an afternoon drive to look at the mountains and a little bit of snow. They lost their way. They got stuck in the snow. Snow wasn't even deep. It was, you know, 6, 8, 10 inches of snow, maybe a foot of snow. It wasn't all that deep where they were stuck at. And then it came up and started snowing on them, added a little bit more. Well, let's go down our list. Clothing, water, sanitation. Now, when you're off by yourself and you're not in a big group of people and you don't have a disaster that includes all of society, sanitation becomes just more one of personal hygiene and things close by. So it's not as serious of an issue in a stranding in the winter like this as it may be at other times. So you need a little bit for personal hygiene, and that means some paper towels, Kleenexes, toilet paper a little bit, maybe some wipes for hands would be useful to have out there, but it's not quite as serious, again, when you're individual. And the cold weather and winter, things are so much cleaner and easier to take care of. It's only a problem when you're stuck in an auditorium with 10,000 other people that are coughing on each other and everybody's touching and spreading and what have you. That's when sanitation of the whole environment becomes a very serious issue and you can get sick and spread disease. So we don't have to say a whole lot there other than what you need for your personal hygiene. Nutrition. Now, I make the point, if you have the clothing and the water, that you really are not going to starve to death in a hurry, but I'm not always telling people you should fast. I'm just saying that water is a much more critical issue because you go into dehydration in just a matter of a couple of hours it starts because of all the moisture that's being drawn out of your body through your breath. So you've got to be making up for that water, and if you become dehydrated, you'll slip into hypothermia very, very easily. But nutrition is something that you should have with you. I mean, it's enjoyable to eat, and you get some energy from your foods, and you'll feel better. You'll generally feel stronger if you have some food. So take things with you, even though you're thinking, I'll be back in time for dinner. Well, what if you're not? So you put in some of the healthy snacks, energy-rich snacks. We talked about food previously, things high in natural fats and oils and complex carbohydrates. Things like the fruits and the nuts are great things to have. Dried meats, dry your own. Don't buy the jerky that's commercially made. It's just adulterated with a lot of things. You can take cheese, all kinds of things that you can pack along with you that have a good shelf life, particularly when it's cool. So you can pack these things for a few days with you and have things to munch on and enjoy. Shelter is something, of course, you've got to be considering. Now, if you have an automobile, as these people do, that we're talking about the scenario, they had shelter. So here's the first rule as you start going down this list. Let's say they were prepared with clothing, with water, a little bit for sanitation. They had nutrition taken care of, and then you come to shelter. Number one thing in shelter, if you're with a vehicle, you almost never, ever abandon that vehicle for a couple of reasons. First off, it's shelter. It's something you can get inside of, something that can protect you from the elements. Now, there's some times and places when you may have to leave a vehicle. If it is stuck on the side of a mountain where you have avalanches slide down in these areas, you shouldn't stay there. You shouldn't have driven there in the first place. You should never park a car in a place or even cross an area where avalanches can occur. But let's say that you did somehow. You got caught in that situation. Well, you're going to have to leave the vehicle or you can be swept away in the mountains. If you're parked out on a lake that has thin ice that's breaking up and or it's the wind is shifting and the ice is starting to move, you may have to leave a vehicle. There's a few situations where you might abandon a vehicle in the winter, but they're going to be far and a few between, and you never want to put yourself in a situation where you'd need to abandon the vehicle. Of course, if it slid off the road and rolled upside down, maybe you're going to have to abandon it then, or if it catches on fire. But these kinds of scenarios are extremely rare. You don't see them occur very often. What we see most of the time that has happened is somebody has got their car stuck and they walk away from it and they find them dead. We've already lost people this year for that reason. We'll continue more in this scenario about taking care of yourself if you get stuck in the snow like this family does with your vehicle so that you're prepared to not get hurt, not suffer, and not lose your life. I'm Jim Phillips. Prepare without fear.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Jim Phillips, and Prepare Without Fear, talking about cold weather and winter injury avoidance. Again, if you have any questions that you'd like to have us address in the future, and that's part of the reason I'm going through the programs as I'm going through, is because of questions that have been emailed to me or left on our voicemail, and I weave those into our coming programs. You can email me at askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. My staff will pick them up and get them to me. Or you can leave a voicemail message, a toll-free, at 1-888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set. Those messages will come to me also. Another thing I might encourage you to do to get the more in-depth training, please go back and listen to previous programs. All the things that I do in the live courses and classes, as best I can, I'm sharing all of those things with you here. Some of these live classes have been recorded. We have one of them that's on DVD, 2 hours of principle-based instruction. It's the first in the series you can get. $5.50, that's the cost of delivering it to you. You can go to the website, preparemyfamily.com. There's a button on there for a DVD giveaway, and you can get that two-hour DVD for $5.50. You can order other things there also. The season moves on this year, we're getting ready for me to go back out on the road and do live classes in other areas again, and we'll have a calendar up in the near future. You'll be able to watch for those, or if you're interested in organizing a class in your area, I'd like to go to new areas. I've been coast to coast so far, but there are thousands of places I haven't been that'd be fun to visit with you, to groups that you may have, organizations, affinity groups, congregations. I'm glad to come out and teach in those areas. Leave us a message. We'll have somebody contact you. Back to our list. I'm kind of going through these principles, and then we'll start using them for our survival scenario, being stuck in the snow in a car. Talking about shelter just before the break, you know, this automobile, a vehicle, a plane, a snowcat, anything that you have, you almost never abandon them because, number one, they may be shelter. They're also a wealth of supplies and materials that you can use, things that you can use as tools. But the other reason you don't like to abandon them is it's generally easier to spot a vehicle than it is somebody on foot. Now, they may become buried in snow, they may be in the trees, and all those things you have to take into consideration. So, but look at the situation. Look at where you are. Look at what the prospects are of leaving a vehicle and how is it going to go if you're not properly prepared. Is this family, as they left with minimal footwear and in very poor winter clothing and no sleeping and no shelter of any kind of thing, they're just going to walk out of there, and they went the wrong direction and ended up losing the mother. Stay with your vehicle 99.9% of the time. You're going to stay with that vehicle. Now, if you become absolutely convinced and you know that, number one, it's not safe, and or nobody is going to find you because of where you are, how the vehicle is hidden, you may have to make provisions to leave that vehicle, but you don't do it casually, and you don't do it without making preparations. If nothing else, you're going to strip a lot of things out of the car. We'll talk about that in a moment. Well, the other thing that's on our list generally for people to have is tools. Things like the shovel and the saw and the axe and for fire starting and other kinds of tools that you would use for making water. As I was talking earlier about water, one of the great advantages of being out in the cold in the winter is that very often you have snow around you that you can use to make water by simply heating it up. Fire is a tool. The ability to make a fire is a tool. Having a pot, a pan, a bucket, or something that you can melt some snow in, that's a tool for producing water for you to drink so you'll keep your hydration up, which means you can keep your strength up, your energy up, and have a much better chance of staying warm. And then we come to the things that supplies. And, of course, there's dozens of things that you might want to have with you besides the consumables of water and food, which are supplies. It's the rope and the cord and other kinds of things that you might use. Of course, we think of, you know, toilet paper. That's a supply, but a lot of the supplies fall into these other areas. Now, do you have to absolutely have the car packed to the hilt all the time? Well, no, it's impractical. I know that. That's why we talk about the very minimum kinds of things. Back to the clothing. You don't leave without coats and without some winter boots, things if you have to be outside. Blankets and sleeping bags, that's all a part of clothing. Well, let's go back to this family and two scenarios. One of them is if they were properly preparing, they were saying, well, we're going to go out for a drive in the afternoon. We're going to look at the snow. What do you do? The winter clothing goes. The winter coats go. The hats, the mittens, they go. Even if you're not planning on wearing them, you put them in a bag. You stuff them in the trunk. You put them someplace so they're there if you need them. Also, the blankets, as I've mentioned, and or sleeping bags. You're not planning to spend the night. What if you have to? Go prepared. Go with what it would take to be okay and not suffer, even though you think it's just a short little drive. The water. absolutely, you must have water. As a matter of fact, most people run around dehydrated, half dehydrated all the time anyway. You should be drinking more water all the time anyway. In the winter, it's critically important for all the reasons discussed earlier. Go back and listen to previous programs. Have some of the food and the munchies for a few days that you have, but take quality food. We're not talking snacky crackies and things that's plastic. There's freeze-dried things that you can put in. They'll store for years. Freeze-dried foods are wonderful to have because they're so simple to use, and you don't have to cook them. In most cases, you can take, if they're the fried, dried fruits or vegetables or meats, they're not prepared meals, you can just eat them the way that they are. You need to drink a bunch of water, obviously, to reconstitute them, but you can eat them dry, drink water, so there's no cooking, no preparation that's necessary. And if you remember from my previous conversation about nutrition, we want a lot of our food to be non-cook or things that you can eat without having to cook them, just in case you can't do those things. It's always a nice idea, if at all possible, you should have some extra shelter. Now then, you have a big family tent, are you going to shove that in the trunk of the car every time? Of course not. But you can have the plastic sheet that I've talked about, some tarps or plastic sheet, because that will make a small shelter, temporary shelter, but it'll keep you out of wind and snow if you have to be outside. And then right back to the tools we're talking about, the shovel, snow shovel. If you get a vehicle stuck, maybe you just get it unstuck and get out of there. The saw, the axe, the fire starting kinds of things. Also, if you're going out, have chains is a wise idea. Know how to put chains on. Don't just have them. Know how to use them, because you can really get a vehicle unstuck with a shovel and chains if you know a little bit about it. A come-along is a useful thing to have to help get yourself unstuck. But practice with these things. Understand how to use them, how to use them safely. All right, here's our family. If they had properly prepared, they had their winter clothing, they had their sleeping bags, they had some water, they had the nutrition, the foods that they needed. Maybe they just had some plastic sheet and a rope, a snow shovel, and the fire starting, and a water melting pot. Just bare minimums, not fully equipped to go on an expedition, but the bare minimums. This is what they do. They're stuck. They finally decide they're stuck. They can't get the car unstuck. Even if they had a shovel and chains, let's say that car is stuck, then you're going to stay with the car, and you're going to set up your camp with the car. First off, the car shelter. Stay inside the car. Now, here's the thing about cars you have to be very, very careful about. And very often people think about, well, it's the car and the engine runs and it produces heat through the heater, so I'm just going to stay in there and turn on the heater. Well, there's two issues about that. Number one, that'll work as long as you have gas, and the engine doesn't overheat and things like that. But as long as you have gas, you're producing heat, so now you have this nice warm shelter. What happens when you run out of gas? Well, no longer have a heater, so you still have to be prepared with the clothing in case you can no longer produce heat that way. But here's the other hazard of vehicles and running heaters. The exhaust fumes that come out the tailpipe of a car are toxic. They are dangerous. If the exhaust system of the car is sound, then it'll carry the exhaust all the way to the tailpipe, dump it out the back of the car. That's good. But if you have a leaking muffler or a leaking tailpipe, and now that exhaust is coming out underneath the car, it can more easily seep into the car, come in around vents and doors, places like that. But let's assume it even makes it all the way out the tailpipe, the whole exhaust system is sound. If the wind is blowing such, it doesn't have to be a strong wind, just a little bit of a breeze that is taking those fumes and they're drifting back around the car. They're drifting back around where the air intake for the heater is. And you're producing some carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, and some other noxious kinds of things. And some of these will build up in the blood. Some of them will build up to toxic levels over a matter of hours or maybe a couple of days. So you have to be very careful about which way the exhaust is drifting or blowing away from the car. If it's blowing back on the car, turn the car off. And you have to be aware of that. And the other thing is, don't ever, everybody in the car, go to sleep with the engine running, because maybe the wind was carrying the exhaust away. You go to sleep. the breeze changes, it drifts back around the car, and while you're asleep, you're breathing these fumes, the carbon monoxide builds up in the blood, and you just don't wake up. This kind of thing has happened too many times to people who thought they were okay, assumed they were okay, and got tired, went to sleep with the engine running, and they did not recover. So a rule of thumb is that people are going to stay awake. Now, here's the problem. If you start having the buildup of carbon monoxide in the blood, guess what? You get tired. You get sleepy. You have to be aware of what's going on. As a matter of fact, having some activity, because the extremities may feel heavy, they may feel sluggish, they may even tingle. Lips maybe tingle or burn or feel strange, as well as under the fingernails and around the lips, they start getting kind of cherry red. When you're hypoxic, meaning running out of oxygen, fingernails and lips and skin become kind of bluish in hue. When you're being poisoned by carbon monoxide, they become kind of red, kind of blushing, kind of flushing. And even if somebody has dark skin, under the fingernails, you can see it there. And you can see the reddening that's occurring under the fingernails, kind of a cherry red color. You've got to be aware of those things because carbon monoxide is a very dangerous thing, and vehicle fumes, engine fumes, can be very, very dangerous for you to be inhaling. So you've got to be aware of these things. You have to think about them. Because usually people can smell the exhaust of a car, and if you're smelling any of it whatsoever, turn the vehicle off. You must not say, I have to stay warm, so I'll keep the vehicle going, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. That's why the clothing has to be there. See, if you have the clothing and the sleeping bags and you decide I can't run the car to keep it warm, it's like, well, fine, put on a coat, put on the insulated pants, put on the mittens, hats, get in the sleeping bag, turn off the engine until the wind changes. You don't have to worry about it. So if you're prepared, if this family had been prepared to stay with the vehicle, the vehicle was spotted when they were coming out there to do the rescue. They were looking for them by helicopter. They spotted the car, and then they just, when they determined that there was nobody at the car, they just started searching out away from the car. If those people had stayed with the car, had made provisions to stay with the car, they would have been found a days earlier, and the mother probably would have been okay, particularly if they had been prepared with these supplies. Well, let's look at a scenario where somebody goes, and let's take this family with exactly what they had, the family station wagon, no particular extra provisions of any kind. They didn't have the winter clothing that was superb to take care of them. They didn't go even with matches or anything else. They just went out there in the car and they got stuck. And you never, ever, ever, especially then, do you want to abandon that vehicle, because there's so many things you can do with that car, with that vehicle of any kind. There's materials there that you can use. Now, if you've listened to previous programs, you start to have an idea what some of these things are. Let's take a look at clothing. If you don't have clothing, you can start making clothing. You remember in previous classes where I talk about my pocket knife. Here I am sitting in this hotel, and yesterday I was in a business meeting, and I had on my, you know, coat and tie and all those things. Guess what was still tied to my pants was my pocket knife on a lanyard that was hooked to a belt loop, so I'm not going to lose that thing. Because that pocket knife is a tool that lets me build clothing. That's one of those little tools that's so critically important. What do you have with a vehicle? You have all kinds of insulating materials in the car. Now, people are going to look at that and say, wait a minute, this is my car, and if I start cutting up the headliners and I start chopping up carpets and I cut up the seats and those kinds of things, my goodness, I'm going to have to repair them, replace them. It could cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars to have the upholstery redone. Well, what's the kind? I don't mean this flippantly, but what's the cost of losing a mother and a wife? That seat is not worth you losing your feet or your hands or your family member or your own life. It's not worth it. Cut the thing up. Dig into that with your pocket knife and have an adventure figuring out how to cut out some of that foam and those other materials and use them as insulation to surround your body and take care of yourselves. So the first thing is, those people, if you stay with the car, you've got some shelter. being mindful of exhaust fumes and those kinds of things. Maybe you're running the heater for a while. Let's say you can't run the heater for a while. If you're getting cold, start cutting that car up. If you don't want to cut your car up, take clothing, take sleeping bags, take blankets. Otherwise, be prepared to cut up your car. It's a simple choice. And if you wait too long, one of the things I like to talk about in the preparedness classes is the attitude of survival. When you find yourself in a tough situation, in a hard situation, you have to make a decision early on to take control, which means you don't wait until your hands are frozen and numb before you start using your pocket knife because you won't have control of it. You may not be able to get the blades out. You've got to make a decision early on that says, you know what, we're getting into trouble here, and heck, I got to start cutting this thing up, and you want to do it before your hands are frozen and you can't control them. You take responsibility, you take control, you take action early on, and don't let it get too far, because once it's too far, you're in serious, serious trouble. It's like becoming dehydrated. Once you're seriously dehydrated, it's much harder to recover from and keep your energy and your heat level up than it is to keep getting water into you. So if you didn't make the provisions, you've got the vehicle, you have carpeting in cars. It's not tremendous insulation, but it can be used to cut up and sit on, so you're not sitting on cold things. It can be used to make the soles in the bottoms for footwear if you're going to have to make something to take care of your feet. In the upholstery, there's so much to use there. Insulation materials, especially in the upholstery. This open cell foam we talk about in the classes on making clothing, those seats are usually full of it. Just need a pocket knife to get in there. And then some of the other fabrics and materials we'll talk about after this break as we're using our vehicle to take care of ourselves. Talk to you in a few moments. Prepare without fear.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores, buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday, and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Thoughts on using these vehicles if you get caught out there in our scenario where the family in this case or anybody that didn't make all the provisions you should be making, you use the vehicle as shelter, you use it as a source of materials and even tools that you'd be able to get out of the vehicle. Back to the seats, we were talking about that. What do you need to stay warm? Well, you've got to keep the body hydrated. You need to stay out of the wind. You need to insulate the body. So you've got the shelter. Hopefully you have water. We'll talk about water in a moment if you didn't bring any. But you're going to use insulation from the seats. The seats are almost surely full of open-cell polyurethane foam plastic. It may be in the form of sheets that are stitched in there, or it may be in the form of molded bucket seats. And that's why you want to have a knife, so you can start slicing them apart, and you can make mittens and hats, and you can make things to protect your feet and cover them so that you don't have to lose fingers and toes out there. The tools become extremely important that you have. That's my pocket knife that I talked about. But let's just skip ahead for a second. Suppose you don't have a knife, and you're going like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to cut up this seat? It's really tough to just tear them with your fingers and your teeth. But you can make something that has a sharp edge on it, and the most common thing you'll find in and around a car is glass. Now, don't bust out the windshield, but you have a mirror, an outside side mirror, something like that, that you can take that glass, handle it carefully. Hopefully you really have some gloves or something on. You can whack it with something, get a piece of glass, and now you can start cutting the stitching and cutting some of the fabrics that cover the seats. If they're leather seats, the leather is a fabric that you can use, or if they're cloth or plastic sheets, now you have something you can use to cover up things. You can build footwear out of them. So you have glass mirrors that can be broken to make a sharp edge so that you can cut some materials. Now, be very careful, obviously, in handling the glass. Do that with gloves or between the piece of cloth or fabric that you've got, between newspaper, anything. If you have some tape, tape it, something like so you don't get cut on it, because what you don't need is an injury out there that you're having to deal with at the same time. It makes your experience less pleasant, obviously, and can be hazardous. The other kinds of things that you know, what other tools do we have around the car? Other tools that we have that you can make from the car? Well, the sharp edges. Suppose you wanted to melt some snow. You need a tool, a bucket, a pan, a pot. Well, if it's in some of the older cars and you had a metal hubcap, and I know most of the hubcaps now are made out of plastic, they won't work, but if you have some of the older cars and older pickups, they have these dish-shaped hubcaps. They're going to be a little dirty. Clean them out. You can use them as a snow-melting pot on a stove or on a fire. Okay, you didn't bring a stove. You didn't bring any matches. How can you start a fire with a vehicle? Well, this is where you don't want to run them until they're dead. You don't want to lose your battery power, your generating power, because you have ways of building a fire. We'll talk about those in just a few moments here, because you see that vehicle is a wealth of materials and a wealth of tools that you can use. That's why you almost never abandon them, so that you can keep yourself safe, even if you didn't bring a lot of supplies. We'll continue with Prepare Without Fear with Jim Phillips right after this break at the top of the hour.